You have your Bible. Let's go ahead and get started here so I can save the rest of my stuff for Sunday. Jeremiah 6, verses 14 through 16. Many people are crying for peace when there is no peace in the world. I want you to think about that statement, because during the days of Jeremiah, he was prophesying or preaching to the northern kingdom here, and their fate was sealed. The doom of the northern kingdom was set. They were not going to recover, and yet God in many ways prompts them to hew down trees and go to work. And the prophet in verse 9, he laments their judgments because of their sins. And this is the context here where he gives us what was going on during the days of the northern kingdom. And so listen to these words in verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of thy daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush at their own sins. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Again, remember in verse 14, they were saying, peace, peace. And Jeremiah the prophet is saying, there is no peace. That's what God's saying. Look at verse 16. This is a principle that will help you always stay the course as a Christian in the world that we live in, when people are crying out, peace, peace, and we know there is no peace. Verse 16 will always say, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Think about that. Peace, peace, there in verse 14. But there was no peace with what they were doing. Verse 15, they were sinning, and they weren't blushing at their sins. They were proud of their sins. Their sin was just open. And so the prophet here is again lamenting their sins, and he's saying the key to your success is in verse 16 always, because they were going to go into captivity and never return. Assyrians were coming, and the Assyrians were going to take them away, and the people of God here would turn into the Samaritans, and they would be considered a mixed breed, so to speak, who were corrupted. And yet again, Jeremiah says in verse 16, the only way to secure your individual salvation is to do this, to stand in the ways, to see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But sadly, they said, we will not walk therein. I don't know about the society we live in, the world we live in. I hear a lot of people saying there's peace, peace, peace. But I know this, there's no peace in sin. And God defines what sin is, not the government. Okay? God defines what is right and what is wrong, what is righteous. Isaiah has some very encouraging things to say about the kingdom that he saw in prophecy. In Isaiah 11, he calls it a kingdom of peace, the kingdom that would be again in prophecy. And in this, he refers to the stem of Jesse in verse 1, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, the word of God. This is talking about Christ. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And he talks about the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and there would be this sense of peace here. And a little child, in verse 6, shall lead them, the peaceable kingdom of Christ Jesus. These are principles, just keys of the kingdom of heaven. the coming church that Mike was talking about, the kingdom of God, a place of peace. It's interesting that when you look at verse 4 in Isaiah 11, the righteousness that he would judge with would not be a righteousness of man's origin. You want to know what's wrong with our country and the world? Is that we don't have righteousness of God. We're using our own sense of judgment and equity. Well, our sense of equity is not God's sense of equity. And we've missed it. We've missed it. And perhaps God's going to judge us. And we're going to have to suffer through this, but we're going to have to remember these principles. And so, did you see that where it says in verse 3, he shall not judge after the sight of his own eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears? It would be Jesus that would say, my words are not mine, but the one that gave them to me. Jesus says of his own Father, God the Father. Jesus says in John 12:48, the words that I say it speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last days. And then in verse 49, he says, these words are from the Father. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, in this same prophecy, the 55th chapter division, Isaiah says that my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's God speaking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We need to quit trying to think for God. We need to get out of that business of thinking for God and let God be true. And let His Word be true. And then I want you to look at something. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 9 verse 6, just for a little note marker, Christ would be the Prince of Peace. Peace. True peace. We're looking for peace. In Isaiah 2, he foresees the kingdom of God. And what kind of a kingdom did he see? But a kingdom of peace. A kingdom of peace that would bring things low. In chapter 40, stay in chapter 2 here for just a moment, but in Isaiah chapter 40, he talks about the coming of John the Baptizer. We know that. And the message of John the Baptizer was every valley shall be made high, and every hill shall be made low. And what's the point there? Those that are low shall be made high, and those that are high shall be made humble. That's a kingdom of peace. You see, that's God's equity. That's bringing everyone into the sense of equality by the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, because God is no respecter of persons. Every man will be amenable to the gospel because every man is a sinner. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the gospel message is a system of equity, true equity. If we'll pay attention to it, it will lift us up. It is the righteousness of God. But look at this, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah foresees the kingdom of God, and he calls it the house of the living God in verse 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Isn't a house a wonderful place to be? And that's referencing a home. 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The two are the same there. The church and the house, the kingdom, are all the same. And the house there has reference to our family. Had a wonderful time over the holidays getting to finally go back and see my mom and dad. And we had Bible studies almost every night. And we enjoyed the home, the house, the family. But I kept telling people there, and I'm telling people here, that I have a family right here at 9th and Main. My family, the house of the Lord, this is a place of peace right here. This is not a place where we're crying out, peace, peace, and there is no peace. No, there is peace with us because we're in the kingdom of peace. It's a house, Isaiah says. It's the house of the Lord. That's why it's a house of peace. Notice this. He also refers to it as a place for all peoples or nations in verse 3. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. Many people, I look out here, I see people of all kinds of backgrounds. Your color of skin has nothing to do with your soul. We know that. But we know we all have different backgrounds. And we all come together into a house of peace. This is the kingdom of Christ. Look at what he also says here of the kingdom. It's a place of law and order, a place where we are taught, fed, and nourished by the Word of God, verses 3 and following. a place of law and order. What gives us peace? But God's laws, God's order. Haven't we had a hard time here the last year trying to follow all the mandates and all the orders of man? We're having a hard time with that, aren't we? We really are, because man's laws will never compare to God's laws. God's laws are perfect. And they're not cumbersome. They're not grievous to be born. But man's laws here, we can see, have been very difficult. They've caused division. And yes, I'll go there. Some people want to wear the mask and some people don't. Why? Not because God made that law, but because man's trying to help us, I guess. But we have some people saying, I don't want the help. I went there because there's been no peace in that. None. Why? Because there never will be with that system. But there is in God's laws. There is in God's laws a place of law and order. There can be peace. So rest on His law. It is a place where our authority rests upon the shoulders of the heavenly and not the earthly. In verse 3 again here, when it talks about this, the law and the word of the Lord go forth out of Zion. They come from heaven. Brethren, we can rest on God's laws. I'm going to tell you, our systemic issue in our country is not racism. Our systemic issue in our country is that we have thrown out the law of God. That's right there. Because the laws of God come out of Zion, heaven. And we as a country, we as a people, we as our politicians, I don't know why we keep voting these people in. Don't go there with the fraud. I don't know. I don't live there. I'm not CIA. I'm not FBI. I'm not in the Department of Justice. I don't know. I don't care. The Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel because it's the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. And I can't control all the corruption in the world, but God will one day. He's going to get them. Anybody that's standing outside of Him. So again, I want you to see all this peace that we have, and we've got to hang on to it. It doesn't come from the earthly. It comes from Zion. And finally, I think verse 4 is very interesting here as I begin to summarize. Verse 4, he talks about no war. In the kingdom of Christ, there's no war. Look at what they do here. He'll judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And I thought about this passage today as they were storming the Capitol building, and these people are mad right now. No peace, right? But there's peace here. You know, the principle in verse 4 is one of farming. It's one of taking your sword, your weapon of warfare, and beating it by blacksmithing it, beating it into a plow. And what does a plow do but break up the fallow ground? Break up that hard ground, that packed soil, to break it up for a reason. Why do we break up the dirt? Why do we break up the hearts of man? Why do we, yes, sometimes have to say pointed things that make you mad or make you sad or make you glad? Why? Because we're trying to penetrate your heart with the seed of the peaceable kingdom of God. So that you'll learn how to smile and step back and say, there is a God in heaven who from Zion has a place, a kingdom of peace that I want to be a part of. Philippians 3:20 will always say that our citizenship is not in this world, but in heaven. Our citizenship is not in this world, but in heaven. Christians, we have citizenship in the kingdom of peace. A few more principles. You can write these down. I don't have time to go there with you. Gospel. The gospel is a message of peace. Ephesians 6:15. I sent a guy a message today that was on fire about all this protesting, and someone got shot and killed in that Capitol building. And I decided to unsubscribe from this particular source material. I got a little bit tired of the same old rhetoric. And they wanted a reason, and so I sent a reason, and I said, the only thing that's going to fix our problems is the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. And I'm going to do a better job trying to preach that message. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that in Romans 10, verse 15, a few passages here, and I'll get off my high horse. Look at Romans 10, verse 15, talking about preaching, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Do you remember Romans 5 verse 1? In the same book, Paul says we have peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach this gospel message. People believe it. The gospel is what creates faith. Our faith leads to our obedience, and that's what gives us peace with God Almighty. Aren't we thankful for that? And then look at Romans chapter 8, just for a brief moment, to remember the antithesis, the problem that we have today. Romans 8, verse 6 is right here. Again, our systemic issues. When you think about our systemic issues, you remember Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's in the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of Christ. It comes from Him. And then I found these two passages very interesting. In 2 Corinthians 13, as Paul is bidding farewell to the Corinthians, just note 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Listen to what he says here to the brethren at Corinth. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And think about how important that is. And then Philippians 4, how could I leave this out? Philippians 4, verse 7 and following. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we think on things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are good, if there be any praise, any virtue, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And what does it say in verse 9? The God of peace shall be with you. So unlike during the days of Jeremiah when they were crying out and saying, hey, peace, peace. And the prophet said, well, there is no peace. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to discourage you, but the Church of Christ didn't begin and it will not end in the United States of America. We've been richly blessed, and I hope that we'll figure some things out in this country, but the reality is the kingdom of peace, the Bible says, live in peace. Paul wanted those at Corinth to live in peace under the Roman rule and the law there at Corinth, and so living in peace is a biblical principle. But it's a principle that we can have always, forever, if we stay in the kingdom of peace. So don't depart from God, because as Mike mentioned earlier, whether you're in China, he didn't say it that way, but whether you're in China or you're in Russia or Europe or South America or any other part of this world, if you're not in the kingdom of peace, you'll never have peace. And the only place you can have that is in Christ. So the gospel of peace is the message that we preach. And that message brings peace to you and your heart and peace with God. So if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need some peace. I can assure you, you won't find it in Washington, D.C. right now. And I would encourage you to stay away from there. But you need some peace. And the only peace you can really afford right now is the free gift that Christ will give you upon your obedient faith. And so if you'll repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, that you believe Christ, the Son of the living God, and be immersed, baptized into water for the remission of your sins, boy, that's the best peace you'll ever have. And hang on to it. Don't let it go. Stay faithful. Keep studying your Bible with us. And I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you a lot, but I can guarantee you you'll have peace if you'll stick with this. Peace with God. It's the best kind of peace. So if we can help you and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, it's His invitation, not Brian's. Come on forward.